The founders of America said that our rights come from God, and that is what we have celebrated recently with America at 250. But there's a very different understanding of who God is between Christianity, the worldview held by the vast majority of the founding fathers of America, and that of radical Islam. As the whole world saw 25 years ago when nearly 3,000 people were killed on American soil on 9/11, that is September 11, 2001, 19 Muslim hijackers commandeered four commercial airlines and wreaked unbelievable havoc. Robert Spencer is a best-selling author on all things related to Islam. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. By the way, Robert Spencer's email, or rather his website address, is jihadwatch.org. And let's welcome back to the program Robert Spencer. Robert, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Good to talk to you, Jerry. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, it's hard to believe what's happened since 9/11. I mean, initially, people were free to talk about it. But even then, I remember there was a political cartoon, and it showed Osama bin Laden, you know, the kind of overall leader of the whole push for what became 9/11. And he had an airline behind him. And it said Islam, and he said, this is another thing that I have hijacked. The idea being that these 19 Muslims that carried off 9/11 25 years ago, they really weren't practicing Islam as revealed, you know, in the Quran and other sources.
Yeah, you know, this was something that George W. Bush said 6 days after the attacks. He went to a mosque in Washington, D.C., and he was standing with Nihad Awad of the Hamas-linked Council on American-Islamic Relations and Abdurrahman Al-Amudi, the head of the American Muslim Council, who is now in prison for financing Al-Qaeda. And he said, Islam is peace. And he scolded Americans for supposedly harassing women wearing hijabs. And the fact is that Islam is not peace. Osama bin Laden did not hijack Islam, and Islam is unique among the religions of the world in teaching violence and warfare against unbelievers. And so, really, the response to 9/11 in the United States from the beginning was wrongheaded and based on false premises and fictions and fantasies. And it's only gotten worse since then.
One of the best books, and I really mean this sincerely, one of the best books ever I've ever seen about Islam, especially sometimes contrasted with some aspects of Christianity, is the one you did called The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. But you had at one point, for example, I remember these little text boxes or whatever, and you would have, this is what Jesus said. This is what Muhammad said. And the contrasts were amazing. You know, Jesus, love even your enemies. Muhammad, you know, smite the infidels, etc.
Yeah, well, see, the thing is, Jerry, people tend to assume in America that if something is a religion, it teaches people to be good. And this is a very deeply ingrained assumption. President Eisenhower, 75 years ago or so, said, Americans should have a religion. I don't care which one, but everybody should have one. And he didn't care which one because he thought all of them taught people to be good citizens. And that was never the case. Most religions teach that, but not all of them. C.S. Lewis, the great Christian apologist, wrote a very important book that everybody should read called The Abolition of Man. And about half of it, a very small book, and about half of it is taken up with a section of quotations, and the quotations are from the various world religions and showing how they all have generally the same moral teachings. And Lewis drew the conclusion from this that the true God had been, in a certain sense, not necessarily revealing in a formal way his truths, but that they were clear, as St. Paul says, you know, you look out in the natural world and you can see the reality of God. And conspicuously absent from his summary of the commonality of the moral teachings of the various religions was Islam, because Islam does not teach people to be good. It warrants, it allows for killing, for stealing, for rape, for all manner of terrible things under the circumstances of if they are going to further the cause of Islam, then they're okay. And so this is something that justified the 9/11 attacks. It's still spreading in the United States, and we've never faced it. And unless and until we face it, 9/11 is just going to be the prelude to the conquest of Islamization of the United States, which would mean the subjugation of women, the subjugation of non-Muslims, the denial of the freedom of speech, the denial of many other basic rights.
You know, we see some of that going on in Europe. You just mentioned C.S. Lewis. He was, of course, from England. By the way, when you even mentioned that, I thought of another Brit, and that would be Winston Churchill. And I understood and understand from some of his speeches and comments that he did understand the threat from radical Islam.
Yes. Churchill wrote in a way that would get him condemned as a racist and Islamophobe today if he said exactly the same thing. He said that Islam in a human being was like rabies in a dog, that it made them mad. It made people do things that they would not ordinarily do. I think that Islam is also the summation of the prophet Isaiah's words about woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And the Lord Jesus, when he said the time is coming when people will kill you and think they're offering service to God. And that is what Islam does. It makes people think that evil is good and good is evil, and that they're offering service to God if they kill believers in Christ. And so this is something that is indeed like rabies to a dog, as Churchill said.
Okay, I've got a question for you. I don't know how many mosques there were in 2001 in the United States of America, but my guess is that here we are 25 years later, and actually, despite 9/11, there's a lot more. Or I would hate to say because of it.
Well, I think it is because of it, Jerry. I think that that's the fix that we're in. We were told, and again and again and again after 9/11, that Islam is peace and that anybody who thinks otherwise is Islamophobic. And there began to be large numbers of Muslims coming into the United States. And, of course, anybody who raised any objection would be shouted down as a bigoted Islamophobe. And so, consequently, there's a much larger number of Muslims in the country today than there was at the time of 9/11, and many more mosques. And the thing is that the mosques are not different from mosques anywhere else. The Quran and Islam are not different. And everywhere else where there's any significant number of Muslims, there is friction that the Muslims cause with the non-Muslims. We're not going to be exempt from that here.
Was it Samuel Huntington or something from Harvard that used to say that Islam has bloody borders? I mean, wherever it exists, it doesn't get along with its neighbors because it wants to conquer their neighbors.
Yes, exactly. Huntington was roundly criticized for that and called racist and bigoted, just as I've been saying, but he was absolutely right. Everywhere there are Muslims and non-Muslims, there's conflict, and it's not started by the non-Muslims.
Okay. Can you believe the progress of some of the liberal politicians who are in league with Muslims? So, for example, you've got Abdul El Sayed, who's running for the Senate in Michigan as a Democrat, and maybe with ties to the Democrat Socialism or the DSA, but I think he's trying to distance himself from that. But he's a good friend with Hassan Piker. I think every American should know who's Hassan Piker, and certainly every Michigander should know and realize that this guy has a platform, even if some people say, some on the left say, oh, no, we don't agree with this guy. We should know about this guy. Tell us about Hassan Piker.
Hassan Piker has said America deserves 9/11, and he is very clear about his hatred for the United States. And so we
And let me just interrupt real fast. He's an influencer with a platform of reaching about 3 million people. So in other words, he's one of the somebody who goes on social media and proclaims a lot of things. And in that context said, like you said, that America deserved 9/11 and did the Jews deserve October 7?
Yes. And so the thing is, when Abdullah Sayyid speaks about supporting or being friends with Hassan Piker, and he doesn't want to disavow him, and he says, well, you know, it doesn't mean that I agree with everything and so on. Just imagine for a moment if instead of Hassan Piker, Abdul El-Sayed were friendly with somebody from the Ku Klux Klan and were saying these things about black people. Nobody would say, oh, this is not a big deal. You're not responsible for what he says. They would demand that he disavow him, or that would be the end of his candidacy. And this is what it should be going on with Hassan Piker, who is just as poisonous as an influencer as somebody who as a Klansman would be. And so it's really astonishing. But it's astonishing that El-Sayed is not being held responsible for his closeness to Hassan Piker, and it's an indication of how much the political discourse has degenerated since 9/11. And hatred for America, even among our own prospective elected representatives, has become normalized.
There are other candidates too that have mentioned that we essentially deserve 9/11. I forgot her name, but a coffee barista lady in Denver, and she may be on or in Colorado, and she's on her way possibly to the U.S. House of Representatives. But again, this idea, did we deserve 9/11, Robert?
No, 9/11 was a jihad attack. Now, the fact is that Osama bin Laden explained in his declaration of jihad against the Jews and the Crusaders, he couched 9/11 jihad against America as a legitimate response to what he said was American interference in the Islamic world, that the Americans, when they were fighting in Iraq, were trotting the sacred soil of the Kingdom of the Two Holy Places in Saudi Arabia. And he, of course, mentioned the Palestinians and Israel. And so he was saying that America should be struck and that Muslims should wage war against the United States because of these terrible things that America was supposedly doing. But he did that because he has to couch jihad as defenses nowadays. There is no caliph. The caliph is the successor of Muhammad in Islamic history and theology as the leader of the Muslims. And there has been no caliph since 1924. And so the Muslims have no leader, which in Islamic theology means they have nobody who is authorized to wage jihad against the infidel, unless that jihad is defensive. So Osama bin Laden had to list a lot of terrible things the U.S. had supposedly done in order to justify his jihad as defensive. Now, that's all very well and good, but nowadays people are taking this kind of thing seriously, like Hassan Piker, and acting as if, and saying straight out that the U.S. deserved 9/11, when really, there's nothing. The U.S. would have been hit sooner or later, no matter what it did. And the grievances or alleged grievances that Osama bin Laden listed were not real. They were just justifications for a defensive jihad.
All right, we're out of time. Robert Spencer, thanks so much for being with us. Jihadwatch.org. Appreciate it, Robert. All the best.
Oh, thank you.